Tonight, I'm going to talk about silence and opportunity. In the Bible, silence is an interesting concept. In the Bible, most of the time in the Bible, silence has to do with people being told to keep silent. You know, you of course we have hymns. You know, we say, "Be still and know that I am God." Right? The Lord is in His holy temple; let all the earth keep silence before Him. You know, this notion of being silent in awe before Almighty God. But that's not the only time. And the other time, silence is actually a bad thing. And so, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to talk about that kind of silence, and I'm going to talk about what I think we, just kind of by way of encouragement, what we need to do about it. So in Acts chapter 18, Jesus appears to Paul, and he says, verse 9, he says, "Now the Lord spoke to Paul by night in a vision, says, 'Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you, for I have many people in this city.' And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." This is when he was in Corinth, if I remember correctly. So, you know, first of all, have you ever known Paul to be one who would not speak up in his history, right? Because we have a lot of details about his life. No, he tended to be somebody who was going to speak his mind. Before or after his conversion, he was going to speak his mind. But he had gone through a lot. You know, he'd been run out of town a few times. He'd been stoned. You know, read it in Paul's letters. He talks about it. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been stoned. He'd been run out. He'd faced wild beasts. He'd been under threats of all kinds, and yet Jesus appeared to Paul. Felt like it was necessary. Jesus doesn't do anything, you know, without a good reason. Felt like it was necessary to appear to Paul and say, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent." The way I want to tie this in is from Isaiah 62. This is in the middle of a beautiful, beautiful chapter. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to read one verse. "I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent." Now, this is in a context, of course, of Isaiah's prophecy and the things that were going to happen and all the other things. But the concept here is, I think, really interesting, because if we look at our culture and, I don't know, my own history, my own experience in life, how silent are we about God in our daily lives? You know, what are the two things that are absolutely forbidden to discuss at family get-togethers? Politics and religion, right? It's become in our culture, you know, it's like you used to see this in, you know, during World War II in the German areas, you know, verboten, forbidden, don't talk about it. When you're working as a professional, how often would you have a religious discussion in a corporate setting? Verboten. Just rarely ever happened. And what that's done is that's created a culture of silence around religion and around God. And we as Christians are infected with that culture. We are infected with it. We live in it. We can't get out of it. You know, that's what a culture is. It's some sort of bacteria growing or something. And it's in everything. So, you know, I was thinking about in Colossians 4, verse 5, it says, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Each one. Does that give a mind of some preparation? I've almost brought a salt shaker with me tonight. What are you salting your speech with? Do you say? Do you acknowledge even? Do you ever even mention God's name in just routine everyday conversation with people? You might do it here when we're together as Christians, but what about when you're at Walmart or you're, you know, you know, at the gas station or whatever, right? How often do you hear God's name used not in vain? We're silent. Not always, but a lot of the time. Then Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are the household of faith. Now, you know, we've heard this verse forever, and it has lots of application. But what better good could you do to all than to give God glory, to mention his name, to give him praise and glory and thanks for your blessings, where people hear it? I'm not talking about here we're in the cloistered walls of the church, right? I'm talking about out there. What about sharing the gospel with somebody? That could be the greatest good you ever do. That doesn't mean you have to be a preacher. It doesn't mean you have to sit there and have, you know, 25-step Bible study ready to go at any moment. It's great if you do. We have materials. If you want to learn how to do that, you know, you can definitely learn. But what kind of seed are we spreading? What opportunities do we have? Do you even notice your opportunities? I was thinking about, you know, the song we sing, Count Your Blessings. You know, and I thought, you know, there's another way to think of that. Do we count our opportunities? Do we see our opportunities for spreading the gospel? We've been talking a lot about this in our evangelism discussions and starting to do some things about it. And I was sitting there thinking about it, and we're trying a few things. Like I know Katie's been doing this lately. She's been sticking up a Bible question on the board, a bulletin board at school. That's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get people to think about God. Now, how many bulletin boards do you have access to? It's a real simple example, right? Do any of us have access to where you could just stick something up there? It doesn't have to be inflammatory. It doesn't, you know, if it just, can you just get them to think about God a little bit? Or maybe think about looking in the Bible for something. It's an opportunity. Another one is, you know, we made these cards up a few years ago. And this actually is amazing. We got it all on this card, front and back. It has a map of where we're at. It has our contact information. It has our websites on it. It has three different people to contact if they want to talk to a person. And it has, what must I do to be saved? So there's about 12 scriptures there, 12, 13 scriptures, very comprehensive list of scriptures. And there's another scripture at the bottom, Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. You know, I keep these in my wallet, and whenever I need to give my address to somebody, I pull it out, I circle my name on it, and I hand it to them. It's an opportunity, right? Now, they're going to take this thing, and they're looking, you know, they want my name and my address. So, you know, I hand it to them, but what do you think they're going to, do you think they're ever going to look at any of the other words? Yeah. Now, they might not study it. They may just go, and throw it away. But it's seed. It's seed in the ground. This is another one. This is, I don't know how old these are, but I remember these when I was first a Christian. Somebody gave me some of these, and they'd had them for a long time. This basic Bible reference cards. This is one of the best, most comprehensive, and least offensive thing that you could hand somebody all together in one package, right? It's not offensive because it doesn't make any claims or charges or accusations. It just says, read a topic, interested in a topic, read the verses. That's all it does. It's really, really good. And it's perfectly sized for a Bible and everything else. But the point is how many people you walk into or places that you go who would probably take one of these if you just handed it to them and said, you know, I found these things. It's a really great set of Bible references. Just Bible references. Stick it in your Bible. Just like that. Just like that. How many opportunities like that do we have? So that's the encouragement, is just to think about these things. You know, when you see somebody, when it's a beautiful day, and you walk into Walmart and it's a beautiful day, and you hear somebody say it's a beautiful day, what do you say? Boy, it sure is a beautiful day. Or do you say, man, God has really blessed us? You know, it was pouring down rain at Lowe's one day when I went into Lowe's. It was absolutely cats and dogs. And this guy came in after me, and I was talking to the checkout lady there. And this guy came in, he was soaking wet, and I said, "Man, are you the one that's been praying about rain? Because if it is, I want to have you do some more praying for me." You know, and I was just joking with him. But he immediately said, "Yeah, I've been praying." And all of a sudden, we were having a 30-second discussion about, we believe in God, we believe in prayer, we believe prayer works. It doesn't have to be long and intense. It's an opportunity. Think about your opportunities. Count your opportunities. Take advantage of your opportunities for the gospel. We have plenty of material. If you want to know what to say if someone turns around and asks you a question, I know Stephen would be happy to give you lots of material on that. I know I can. Several of us can. You know, think about it. How do we use our opportunities? Let's not waste them anymore. Because an opportunity not taken is an opportunity wasted. So think about that. That's the lesson. It's just an encouragement to count your opportunities and not be silent. Not let the thing the devil would love nothing better is for Christians to sit around and hold their tongue. That doesn't mean we get into rancid arguments and blowing things up on the internet and everything else. We need to be godly. But we need to use our opportunities for the gospel. If you have any needs, we'd be happy to help. If you need prayers, for those who are online and anyone here, if you need to obey the gospel, don't waste your opportunity. Don't waste your opportunity. If you need to know how, we'll be happy to help you now. If you have any other things you need to let us know about, you can let us know as we stand and sing.